It's a free country. They always used to tell us in America when I was a kid, this is a free country. Sit where you like. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. E Krishna karana sindhu dinabandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute. Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu sute devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva naruktamam Deving sarasatim vyasa Tato jayamudirayet Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Rahugana Converses with Jarda Bharata. Verse number 7. So chan imang swang adikashtadinan.
So chan imang
swang adikashtadinan. Vishtya nigrinan niranukrahosi. Vishtyani grihnan niranugrahosi. Janasya goptasmi vikattamano. Janasya goptasmi vikattamano. Nasho vase vritha sabhasudrishta. Nasho vase vritha sabhasudrishta. Nimangsang adikashtat yinan. Janasya goptasmi vikattamano. Nasho vase vridha sabha sudrishta. So chani mangstong adikashtadina. Vishtya nigrihnan niranugrahosi. Janasya doptasmi vikattamano. Nasho vase vridha sabha sudrishta. Satyani mangsang adikashtadinan. Tishya nigrihna niranugrahosi. Svi vikattamano. Se vridha sabhasirishta. Ladies. Nigrihnan niranugrahosi. Janasya goptasmi vikattamano. Sovase vridha sabhasudishta. One more to make an even two. So chani mang song adikashtadina. Vishtana niranugrahosi. Janasya goptasmi vikattamano. Nasho vase vridha sabhasudrishta. So what does all that mean? Dukkha. Oh, Prabhupada will tell us. Word for word translation. So chan. What does that mean? Yes, lamentation. Lamentable. Iman. All these. Tvam. You. Adikashtadinan. Poor persons, suffering more pains because of their poverty-stricken position. Vishtya, by force, nigrihnan, seizing, nir anugraha, asi, you have no mercy in your heart. Whoa. Strong words. Janasya, of the people in general. Gopta asmi, I am the protector, king. Vikatamana, bragging. You all know what bragging means? What's the Dutch word for bragging? Opslepper. Opslepper. Really? Okay. What about in French? We don't have any French. German, Deutsch. Yeah. What is it in German? Bragging. Hoch. To make big talk about yourself. Advertise yourself. Toot your own horn. That's a very English expression. Yeah, bragging. We don't brag in German, right? Selbstlob. Okay. Right, bragging. Na shobase. You do not look very good. Imagine saying that to someone in the morning. You know, Haribo Prabhu, you don't look very good. Vridha sabhasu. In the society of learned persons. Drishta. Simply impudent. What means impudent? Okay, being disrespectful. Anyone know a Dutch word for impudent? Dutch people are never impudent. Okay, disrespectful, but in a certain way, kind of. Anyway, rough. Yeah, sounds like it. Okay, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, it is a fact, however, this is Jadabharati speaking, it is a fact, however, that these innocent people carrying your palanquin without payment are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet due to false prestige, you were thinking that you were protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. What means ludicrous? Ridiculous. What does ridiculous mean? Yeah, absurd. You were such a fool that you could not have been adored as a great man in an assembly of persons advanced in knowledge. Wow, what a put down. Purport. King Rahugana was proud of being king. And he felt he had the right to control the citizens as he liked. But actually, he was engaging men in carrying his palanquin without payment. And therefore, he was causing them trouble without reason. Nonetheless, the king was thinking that he was the protector of the citizens. Actually, the king should be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, he is called Naradevata, the Lord among human beings. However, when a king thinks that because he is the head of the state, he can utilize the citizens for his sense gratification, he is in error. Such an attitude is not appreciated by learned scholars. According to Vedic principles, the king should be advised by learned sages, brahmanas, and scholars, who advise him according to the injunctions given in the Dharma Shastra. The duty of the king is to follow these instructions. Learned circles do not appreciate the king's utilizing public endeavor for his own benefit. His duty is to give protection to the citizens instead. The king should not become such a rogue that he exploits the citizens for his own benefit. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, the heads of government will be plunderers and thieves. These thieves and plunderers take the money and property of the public by force or connivance. You know what connivance means? Yeah, tricking. Like we say, a con man. You know what a con man is? He convinces you of something and then he cheats you. That's a con man. Therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Rajanyair Nigrinar Dasyu Dharmabhi. As Kali Yuga advances, we can see that these characteristics are already visible. We can certainly imagine how deteriorated human civilization will be by the end of Kali Yuga. Indeed, there will no longer be a sane man capable of understanding God and our relationship with Him. In other words, human beings will be just like animals. At that time, in order to reform human society, Lord Krishna will come in the form of the Kalki avatar. His business will be to kill. Joy. To kill all the atheists. Joy. Because ultimately, the real protector is Vishnu or Krishna. We should show this to Richard Dawkins. The Lord incarnates and sets things in order when things are mismanaged by so-called kings and heads of government. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Very good. Of course, this takes many years. But the principle is there. When the king or government head does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out the punishments in the forms of war, famine, and so forth. Therefore, if the government head is not aware of life's goal, he should not take charge of ruling the people. Actually, the supreme proprietor of everything is Lord Vishnu. He is the maintainer of everyone. The king, the father, and the guardian are simply representatives of Lord Vishnu, empowered by him to look after the management and maintain things. It is therefore the duty of the head of the state to maintain the general populace in such a way that people will ultimately know the goal of life. Nathe vidu svartagating hi Vishnum. Unfortunately, the foolish governmental head and the general populace do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to understand and approach Lord Vishnu. Without this knowledge, everyone is in ignorance and all society is crowded with cheaters and cheated. And so ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Shochan imangstvang adikashtadinan vishtya nigrihnan niranugraho si janasya goptasmi vikattamano na shobase vridha sabhasudrishta. It is a fact, however, that these innocent people carrying your palanquin without payment are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet due to false prestige, you were thinking that you were protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. You are such a fool that you could not have been adored as a great man in an assembly of persons advanced in knowledge. Jatabharata Kijai. He's, we say in English, telling it like it is. And fortunately, Rahugana is ready to listen. He's very fortunate in that regard, as Jatabharata, ironically named Jatabharata, because Jada means what? It means dull. It means being practically unconscious. This world is called Jada Jagat, the dull material energy. It's dull. But Jatabharata is anything but Jada. He is the one who's actually awake. And because he's awake, he is able to speak to Rahugana as a sadhu. Srila Prabhupada explains the word sadhu. One way of understanding it is one who cuts. So here, Jatabharata is cutting Rahugana's false ego, cutting it into little pieces and leaving it there. His false ego is that he is a king, and as a king, he is taking advantage of others. He is exploiting others. As Prabhupada's translation says, he is having palanquin carriers, including Jatabharata, carry him, and they're not getting paid. Therefore, it's exploitation. Now, we may listen to this and think, oh gosh, I'm doing service, all sorts of service for which I don't get paid. Maybe I'm getting exploited. Some will say, yes, we are all being exploited. Some will say that this is, they cannot see, Shishirana Gopinath Ki Jai, they cannot see that there is something called service, devotional service. The word dasa or dasi, we usually translate as servant, male or female. The word can also be translated as slave. Yeah, in the Sanskrit dictionary, the word dasa can mean slave. Our position as aspiring devotees of the Lord is that we are aspiring to be slaves of the Lord. And that's, the word slave is not very popular. Nobody wants to be a slave. In fact, slavery in this world has been a very terrible thing. There's a long history of slavery. I was just reading about slavery in America, and that the first immigrants who went from Europe to America, most of them didn't survive the first batch. Most of them died just from heavy conditions. The next batch, they started to advertise in America, in England, that you can go to America and become an indentured servant. Indentured servant meant that for a few years, 5 or 6 years, basically you were a slave, but then you would be freed and you would get a piece of land. So a lot of people went from England to do that. They thought, wow, that's a good deal. They weren't ever going to have hope of getting their own land in England. So they said, they signed up, and they went to America, and many of them died. Again, because of conditions, because of diseases, they just weren't ready for it. So then what to do? Here was this wonderful opportunity in America, so much land to exploit. but not enough people to do the exploitation of the land. What we need is slaves. At first, initially, slaves were too expensive for most people. Couldn't afford a slave. And this this was because there was a monopoly on the slave trade from Africa. They were, of course, bringing people over from Africa, who many of whom died on the way. But then they changed the law and made it open market. Anyone could become a slave trader. All you needed was a ship. If you had a ship and enough people to get the ship across the sea, then you could start your own slave trade. So then they started importing slaves to America from Africa by the thousands. And of course, as you know, as you may know, little American history here, they fought a war, 1860 to 1865, over many issues, but one of them was whether or not one could own slaves. And finally it was decided, no, you can't own slaves. So the slavery just changed form. Those who had been slaves in one form now became slaves in another form. They were sent, or they found themselves in factories, where basically they just became slaves. Okay, they got a little payment, but what happened? They got into debt. And so they became slaves of the banks. Does that sound familiar? So many people today are indebted to the bank. And they're working day and night, and not just day and night, but week and month, and not just week and month, but year and decade, and not just decade, but whole lifetime, in order to pay back the bank for that little bit of property, which now, finally, at age 65, they can claim is mine. It's mine. It's mine. And then they have a heart attack. And then they get carted away. Okay, but slavery is it's a fact of material existence, which Srila Prabhupada refers to here as being manifest as a society of cheaters and cheated. We usually think of cheating in terms of taking of material goods, but we can also think of it in terms of exploitation of persons. And really that's more deeply what cheating is about. It's about exploitation of persons. When we think of persons, just for a moment, thinking a little philosophically, what is a person? Usually we think of agents, someone who acts, someone who can do something with material energy so that it is affected, or so that others are affected. Agency and being a person are very much identified, at least in Western thought, Western language, and so on. But whenever there's agency, there's also something else. And what is that? One scholar has called it patiency, as in patient, someone in a hospital. Wherever there is, you are affecting someone, the someone you are affecting is the recipient, is in the passive position of receiving your action. And the interesting thing here is that a person who is in a passive position is not seen as agent, and is therefore generally not seen as person. And this is what happens, this is the dynamics of exploitation, that those who are being exploited sometimes very subtly, and sometimes not so subtly, are made to think themselves or are thought of by others as something less than persons. And when someone is something less than a person, then it becomes easier to exploit them. This is what Hitler did, along with his companions, in India. In Germany, in the 1930s. He systematically dehumanized the Jews by various laws and by propaganda, to the point where it became very easy for people to think, yes, actually, these people are simply a problem. It became known as the Jewish problem. And it was just one step to another before these people were systematically destroyed, literally incinerated. The 20th century in general has been really a horrible age, and it'll be interesting to see what they say about the 21st century. But the 20th century has been an age of dictators who have been able to rule over huge numbers like never in, well, I guess we would say, recent history. But their means of ruling has inevitably been one of horrible, horrible exploitation. We see in recent months, we've seen what's called the Arab Spring. I don't know if it's going to be called that after some more months or years. It might be Arab Spring and then Spring Back, or what to say. But we've seen people's kind of uprising and saying, this leader is not our leader. We reject this leader. This has gone on in some countries. We have fighting going on in other countries because leaders are saying, no, I am the leader. I don't care what you say. I don't care who you are. Just you should be killed. And so the situation continues. And as Prabhupada is saying in his purport here, we find indeed the age of Kali is upon us. And so we wonder, and people wonder, what is the solution? People grasp at straws. They do not know what is the alternative. From these purports, we may wonder, when people say religion and politics have nothing to do with each other. Have you heard that? Some people say that many times. Religion and politics have nothing to do with each other. They haven't read Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, religion and politics have everything to do with each other. Because the king, who is kind of the embodiment of the political body, or is supposed to be, is supposed to be religious. And if he or she is not religious, then we have problems. Why? Because religion means recognizing a higher authority. Very simple. Yesterday was celebrated in Holland Queen's Day. That's very nice. Little did they know, most people, that we were celebrating the real Queen's Day, the eternal Queen's Day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 8 times the word Hare comes in the Maha Mantra. And only 4 times the name Krishna. Oh, and also 4 times the name Rama. Rama and Krishna together, and then Hari, Hare or Hari. Hare refers, Prabhupada explains, to Hara, which refers to Srimati Radharani. So, how fortunate people are, not knowing it, but becoming fortunate by associating Queen's Day with the Hare Krishnas. Huh? One day they will find out what that mantra is about. And then one day they will read what is the significance of chanting Hare Krishna. Namely, it is a prayer. My dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. And that request is not a request to be subjugated to any material exploitation, but rather it is to become completely free from all exploitation by admitting our identity as eternal servants of Krishna. When I was a kid, we were all told in America, this was the propaganda, we live in a free country. Free from what? Free to do what? And I remember in grammar school, in grade school, occasionally there would be an alarm exercise. It would be an exercise, a drill, in case the country would be attacked by the Russians. Yeah, this was the middle of the Cold War. It was very cold, and it was a war. It was between us, the good guys, and them, the bad guys. It was between us, the free ones, and them who were shackled in the chains of exploitation. And so every few weeks, suddenly the bell would ring. We had to jump up and run out of the school classroom into the hallway, and we had to sit in the hallway and squeeze ourselves with our head between our knees for several minutes so we could hardly breathe until the bell rang that said, okay, now you can go back to class. Where, in the classroom, we would learn how we were so free. And then I got a little older and I found out that our country was engaged in a war in a place which I had never heard of. It was called Vietnam. And supposedly the reason for the war was we had to defend the world against the threat of communism. Ooh. And so the war went on, and I got older and older until I became old enough that I could be drafted into the army to go to Vietnam so I could shoot people who I had no connection with whatsoever. I didn't know them at all. Some farmers in their coconut groves. I could throw napalm at them, or whatever. So as I started approaching that age, I really began to wonder, what is this war about? And what are they telling us? Why do we have to fight in this war? So as things happened, it was not necessary for me to go to war, to this war, mainly because I was a student. So I was sheltered by the government to be a student to learn what? Essentially, how to exploit people, how to become successful in the material world so that I could become an exploiter rather than one who is exploited. Meanwhile, I took some jobs here and there. I never lasted very long, menial jobs. Usually I would get fired after 1 week because I couldn't see the point of the job that I was doing. So my speed of doing the job was not enough. I managed to keep one job for 5 months. Wow. 5 months in Germany. And keeping this job actually was a wonderful lesson. I'm still grateful that I had this lesson because during this 5 months I was able to see very clearly how the modern material world works in the corporation. Because I worked in a large corporation and I saw how everything worked. And I saw that the highest happiness in this corporation was to go on vacation. And the secretary in the office where I worked as an office boy, doing menial copying work because there were not, this was before, it was before computers, if you can imagine that. The secretary went for vacation, and after 2 weeks she came back, and she was retelling her boss about all the wonderful experiences she had on vacation in South Europe, how she and her family had stayed at this place, and they had eaten at that place, and they had eaten this and that, and they had traveled here and there. And I thought, was that the whole, is that all there is? Is that all there is? I really started to ask myself, is this all there is? I think there's a song to that effect. That's when I joined the Hare Krishnas. Hare Krishna. Why am I telling all this? Exploitation. I think it is our business as devotees to offer et positive alternative, the positive alternative, which is to be in a society in which we are all avowed servants. We are servants of the servant of the servant, 1,000 times over, recognizing the Supreme Lord as our master, who, it turns out, enjoys more than anything else to be a servant. It's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that all the avatars have the right, they have the right to enjoy the experience of being servants. They enjoy being in the mood of bhakti. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears not alone, but with all of his associates. They are enjoying the relish of service to each other. This is the happiness of bhakti. This is the alternative which is being offered by the Hare Krishna movement. This is the alternative which, yes, Jada Bharata is offering to King Rahugana by telling him point blank, you're just a nobody. you think you're a king, but actually, you're just like everybody else. Indira Gandhi was the Prime Minister of India. And one day, there she was in the morning walking from her residence to the place, to her office, and she was flanked on either side by her two guards. And at one point, suddenly, her two guards turned on her and shot her dead. That is service in the material world, in its most gruesome form, but that's what it comes to. This suggests that we also, as devotees, even we take a position of authority, or especially we take a position of authority, we should be very careful that we remember that we are servants and that our business is to engage in serving those whom we serve. That in that way, everything is very nice. We all go back home, back to Godhead together, where everyone really perfectly understands this point. Here we are struggling to understand I am servant. In the spiritual world, no one has a problem with that. They have no problem because the master is really indisputably the perfect master. And as we mentioned the other day, we want to take shelter of someone who is completely powerful and who is completely compassionate, and that is Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jada Bharata ki jai. Any questions on any of these points? Yes, Ramu. This sounds like a loaded question. Yes. Good. Is it possible, Prabhu is asking, I'm forgetting your good name. Amita Krishna, yes, very nice. Amita Krishna, Prabhu is asking, is it possible to get out of this condition of exploitation without becoming free from the monetary system in which we are situated? I'm asking myself that too. I think Prabhupada was quite strong on this point, and I don't think we want to forget with what power he was making this point that the monetary system is not sustainable. We're seeing it now in Europe. Everyone is becoming very jittery about the euro. Will the euro survive? And some are raising the question, why should it survive? It's actually only another medium of exploitation. Paper money in general, okay. That's another lecture, isn't it? Yeah, it, and as I suggested, through the whole system with banks and the fact that the money really doesn't have any substance behind it, no value. One thing they forget in this monetary system is the basic, simple, it's too simple point that value has to be something real. There has to be something like food. There has to be something like clothes. There has to be something that actually people can use. Simple point gets forgotten. And so we have value created kind of out of nothing. That's what economics today seems to be, the international money system is like that. People are making money out of thin air, but then that always means somebody else is losing, isn't it? And that is going on a grand scale. Anyway, short answer, certainly this is something we all need to think more deeply about. And then I feel also we need to go beyond the thinking stage to the doing stage to develop communities which are to some degree self-sustaining. And I say it's to some degree because I've done a little reading on this, and it is, I think, intelligently argued that it's an illusion to aim for a kind of complete self-sustaining entity by the nature of the world. There are always things which, well, we require air, we require water. You know, there's so many things we depend on. We actually are living in a very interdependent world. But I certainly agree this something is going to give. Something is crumbling before our eyes. If not today, tomorrow, yeah, it looks grim. Sometimes it's, one wonders that it's still going on. So I think we need to think about basic things like, how do we get food? Now it's so easy. Years ago I visited the one of the farms, devotee farms in Brazil, where they had wonderful climate, where they could grow anything. And I noticed they weren't growing vegetables or fruits. And I asked the devotees, why not? And they said, well, we were trying to do it. We did it for some time, but then we came to realize that it was costing us more money to grow our own food than to buy it in the market. What? Doesn't make sense. Something doesn't make sense here. Something is wrong. So we need examples of where we are growing our own food. But we also need devotees who are ready to get out and dig in the earth. And I have to say, at this point is where I get extremely nervous and embarrassed, because I don't know if I'm going to be the one out there. And so I don't like to be the one saying, you know, we should do like this. I much prefer people teaching by example. But the younger generation with more energy, yes, the glories of farming, growing, grow your own. We have devotees growing their own wheat sprouts, wheatgrass, joy. That's a start. Anyway, big topic, yes. Anything else? Yes, go for it. Is the king not entitled to have servants who are unpaid, presumably? That would be an interesting thing to explore within the traditional shastra dealing with that, such as Artha Shastra. Not something I'm expert in. Shesha Prabhu, do you know something about this? The paying of servants by kings? Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes. In more recent times in India, developed in over the centuries what came to be known as the Yajmani economic system, which comes from the word yajamana. Yajamana means sponsor of a sacrifice. And the Yajmani system is a system where particular families are engaged by usually a large land owner in particular services over generations. So someone is a potter making the pots for the yajamana, for the landowner, and he is then guaranteed food, shelter, whatever he needs. So the payment may be would usually not be with money, but would be with goods. And a large landowner would be the yajamana, who would have many different families depending on basically a kind of feudal system. That system broke down, of course. And what we have now in India, it's kind of mysterious. People wonder how it is that in India the many castes persist. When I speak of caste, the technical word here is not varna, it's jati. Jati is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 1. Once or twice, Arjuna expresses some concern about the maintenance of jati. There are some 3,000 jatis presently in India. And in some areas of India, the different jatis are literally at war with each other. I mean, they're literally armed and fighting with each other in some remote or not so remote places. Why? Because their services are no longer, their positions of dependence have been taken away from them. And now it's struggle for existence, one jati against another, and each are simply trying to exploit the other. Because this principle of shelter, of we understand the ideal of Ramachandra, is simply no longer there. So what we have instead is a secular government in India, and I was reading, I had students read an interesting article for a course in China, in Hong Kong. In Rajasthan, woman anthropologist did a study of one village in Rajasthan in which the older people remember the times before the present government. They remember when there was so much more forest around their village. And they noted that the local king that they had was very concerned to protect the forest. But then his son, who knew that the time was coming very soon that he would no longer be in power and that there was going to be a national government, he saw this time coming. So what did he do? He started selling the lumber of the forests around so that he could make his money and get out. And as a result, less forest meant climate change, and this area became more and more drought-prone, and so many things, so many effects were there. And they said, then came a government agent for protecting the forests. But was he actually protecting the forests? No. He had his job, he had his salary, and that's all that mattered to him. And so as a result, more and more exploitation of the land, of the forest happened, and the situation has come to what it is today. Yes, Tatvani.
Yes,
And so it goes, indeed. I think we are in the age of Kali. Kaler doshani de rajan asti hiego mahangunan kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajet. To end on a positive note. In this age, there is an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality. Kirtanadeva krishnasya. The kirtan of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.